Certainly thankful to be here this evening. I usually take my watch off so I can look at it, but I don't know what train station you got that clock from, but man, it's about 10 after. And thankful to be here. I love your pastor very much, and that's everybody at my church knows that, and I'm sure everybody does here too. We're so much alike in a lot of ways, and young and good looking, and so that wasn't the place to laugh. But anyway, thankful to be here with him, and I appreciate his ministry. When you come to a meeting like this where people have been waiting for you and praying for you, I'll just be honest, and I'll just speak for myself. I want to impress people. I want people to walk away and say, man, that guy's dumb. I want to think, man, that guy's sharp as a tack. That guy's got the Spirit of God. I want to impress people. And so I had a good sermon for that tonight. And it was impressive. I tell you, I was impressed with it. When I first heard it from somebody else, I was impressed. So I had that. But about the middle of the week, the Lord put something on my heart. And I have learned not to mess with the Holy Ghost.
Right,
just don't mess with him. Because he always wins. That's one thing for sure. And so I'm going to do something a little different tonight. No, this doesn't mean it's going to be a tap dancing routine. I broke a foot, and that's what this is. I want to talk to a portion of the congregation that normally gets left out, a portion that we don't try to impress that much, a portion that sometimes we preach over their heads, and we don't preach to them, we preach over their heads. And, of course, I'm talking about the adults. So I want the young people to help me out tonight, because I want to speak especially to some of the young people. In Matthew 4, Jesus is walking along and he sees two fishermen. He says, I'll make you fishers of men, follow me. And he started walking. Of course, he didn't walk like me. He walked better. He walked and they followed him. And he made them fishers of men. They brought people into the church. In a sense, we are the lineage of those men. They were the fishers that brought people who brought people who brought people hundreds and thousands of years down to us. And so I want to talk about that this evening. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus is having trouble with some people that don't like him. They're very well dressed. They're the authorities in the church. And they don't like him. Because he doesn't dress up like them. He doesn't talk like them. And they don't like him. And they kind of have this attitude on their face. Maybe you've seen people come to church like this. Order. Order. Don't sing the second verse again. Order. Stop smiling. You're in church. And they look like that. And Jesus is standing there. And while he's getting a crowd together, some other people come in. They're called publicans and sinners. But there's something about them that Jesus likes because they smile. They like Jesus and they show him because when they look at him, they smile. And he gives them his time and his energy. And so when they have these big shots out here, the publicans and sinners push them out of the way. Excuse me. And they all came and sat down by Jesus. And the big shots in the back, they got angry. And they murmured against Jesus. He says, does he know what kind of people these are? And Jesus said, I'm going to tell you a story. And he told them three stories. I want to tell you the stories. And the first one is about a shepherd. He's got 100 sheep. Not bad. He's pretty good. And he's got these 100 sheep, and he gets them all at night safe in a corral. He gets them in a corral. And he looks at them and he thinks, I know all 100 of my sheep are here. That's all, it's just the second coming. he gets all 100 sheep, and he looks and he says, well, they're all here. And he thinks, there's something wrong. I know I counted them. And he counts again, and there's one missing. And it's a little lamb. And the little lamb is missing. And he counts again, he counts again, he counts three times. No sheep, no little lamb, no sheep. He's gone. So he panics. He doesn't know what to do. So he starts running back the way he came, looking for the one he lost. And as he gets to this one place, there's a cliff. And it's a valley. It's called Total Depravity, this valley. And that little lamb is about to go over it. All he sees is the tail. And he runs and he grabs the lamb's foot at the last minute. And he pulls the lamb back and the lamb smiles because he doesn't know what was about to happen to him. He doesn't realize what the shepherd saved him from. If he had gone over that cliff, he would have died and been gone forever. But he doesn't know that. And so the shepherd, he takes this little lamb. He says, I wish you'd do what I tell you to do. And he puts him over his shoulders and he starts walking back. And as he goes through town, some of the men go, that lamb again? That's the same one you had to rescue last week. And he said, I know. I can't keep him straight. He said, how long are you going to put up with him? And so the men gather around and they talk. And finally, the shepherd says, you know what? I'm so glad to have him back. I'm going to throw a party. We're going to call Papa John's. And we're going to have a party. And I'm going to get a big bouncy room. And we're just going to have a ball. And they said, you do that for that little lamb? He said, I love that little lamb. And I rescued that lamb. He's my lamb. I'm putting him back in the corral. And we're going to celebrate tonight. And I want all you men to come. Bring your families. We're going to have a big party. When Jesus finished that story, he said, let me tell you why I told you that story. It wasn't to entertain you. It's to teach you something. And Jesus said, here's why I tell you this story. Because there is more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents and comes back into the fold than the other 99 that stayed there. And he said, there's rejoicing in this man's house. And by the way, Jesus was the only one that went to heaven and came back. He gets a right to tell us what it's like. And Jesus, I'm going to promise you something. Every time somebody joins the church, they have a party up there. You say, now, Brother Glenn, you don't mean really. Yes, I do. I either buy the book or don't buy the book. I bought the whole book. And when Jesus says there's rejoicing in heaven, I believe he meant it. Right. I believe the angels rejoice when a sinner repents. And it doesn't matter if it's just a little lamb. It's okay. Because they're happy about that. He could see the people in the congregation didn't like that story. The big shots, they didn't like that story. So he said, let me tell you another story. There was a woman, and she was sitting at her kitchen table counting her money. She only had 10 coins. I hope they were gold. And she was counting her money, and somebody knocked at the door. And so she jumped up quick and put the coins under something, and she answered the door. No, I don't want any of that. I'm already going to vote Republican. Go away. And so, or something like that. And so then she went back, and she picked up the thing, and she counted her coins. 1, 2, 3. Oh, I love this. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I lost a coin. She counted them again. She counted them again. She started looking on the floor. She looked everywhere. She couldn't find that one coin. And so she panicked. And she started cleaning house. And I've said this before. The only time my house gets clean when my wife leaves an earring. The whole place gets swept up, you know. So she started putting furniture outside. She took the sofa and put it outside, and she took the tables and she put them outside, and she's sweeping and sweeping, and she's crying. She's crying because she can't find her coin. And all of a sudden, the sun comes in the window, and she sees a little glint. And there's the coin. And she picks it up, and it's dirty, but it's her coin. It's the coin she lost, and now it's the coin she's got. And her friends look in the window and say, what are you doing? All your furniture's on the porch. She said, I lost my coin. And I found it. And they said, oh, well, that's fine. She said, no, you don't understand. I needed all 10 coins this week. This was an important coin to me. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Tonight, we're going to call Domino's. I got to be fair. We got to call Domino's, and we're going to have pizza, and I want you to bring your children over here, bring your husbands over here, and we're going to have a great big party because I found my coin. And Jesus said, you know why I told you that story? He said, because there's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repented.
Right.
That's twice Jesus told a story. And both times the moral was the same.
Right.
That when people join the church, when people come up and say, I want to be a Christian, I want to follow the Lord, the Lord's put it in my heart, I want to be what you people are, I want to follow God, I want to enjoy the blessings. Jesus said, every time that happens, angels start rejoicing in heaven. They love it. They just love it. People think heaven's real far away. Heaven's probably pretty close. So he said, everybody just rejoices in there. And Jesus said that, and he lives there, so he knows what they do. He said, let me tell you another story. I don't need this cane. Who needs a cane when you're able? Anyway. Jesus said, there's a rich man. He's a rich man. He's got a big crown. He wears big rings. He's got lots of property. He's got so much money, he doesn't even know what to do with it all. He's a mighty wealthy man. And he's got two sons. And one of the sons says, you know, Dad, I'm tired of this old primitive Baptist stuff. I heard that over the hill, they've got a place with a jukebox. You put coins in and music comes out. And they got people that dance and they drink beer and they just have the best time over there and they swear and they smoke and they just have a great time. And I want to go have a good time. And his father said, no. You got to talk to Elder Melvin about that. You got to talk to the pastor. You're stepping off on the wrong thing here. Well, the young son kept bugging him. For days and days, he kept bugging him. And he said, Dad, when you die, I get some of this inheritance, right? And the father said, well, yeah. He said, I want mine now. I want to go over the hill, and I'm going to smoke and drink and party and have a ball. I'm tired of this old hymn-singing, primitive Baptist, King James Bible. And I got to go over there and have me some fun. Some real fun, man. Finally, his father said, you know, I'm so tired and weary of fighting with you. Here's the money. Man, he stuffed it in his pockets. He put it everywhere. He had money in his ears. He had so much money. And he started walking over that hill, and he crossed the stream, and he got over there, and sure enough, everything was just like he'd been told. There's a jukebox in the corner playing a song, you know, and he put money in there, and people started seeing he had all this money, and he said, pizza for everybody, beer, cigarettes, everything, keep everything. And for days, he had a ball. He partied. Of course, he got sick a lot, too. We won't talk about that, but he did get sick a lot, from what I've heard. And hangovers, everything, and it was horrible. But he had a ball. And then one night, the doorbell rang, and he was having a big party, had everybody over his house. There were girls dancing, everything swinging. And the pizza man was there, and he said, $15. And the young man went, I'm out of money. Would one of you pay for the pizza? Everything stopped.
Right.
What? Would one of you pay for the pizza I bought it the last 2 weeks, you know? You don't have any more money? Well, no. If one of you would, see you later, buddy. And they all walked out on it. They all walked out. He's standing there with nothing. And he was hungry by now. Because the pizza guy left too. He's no dummy. About a day or two later, the rent ran out on the apartment. He didn't have any place to sleep. He went to his friends' houses, but none of them would take him in. Mm-hmm. See, they really didn't like him. They liked his money.
That's right.
They didn't like him.
Right.
So he slept outside that night. He woke up in the morning, the dew was all over and bugs and everything. So he tried to get a job, but nobody gave him a job because he looked horrible. About 3 or 4 days of sleeping outside, he looked like one of the animals.
Right.
Finally, one farmer said, well, I've got a job for you. He said, really? Is it inside in the office? He said, no, pigsty. You're going out in the pigsty. You look like a pigsty. You're going in a pigsty. You hadn't had your hair cut. You hadn't shaved. You got your tattoo. You got all goofed up. You look like one of my animals. I'll let you feed my pigs. This was a man who was taught not to be around pigs. And he climbed in over the fence, stepped in that nasty pig mess up to his knee. Nasty, stinking pig mess all over. And for days, all he did was feed the pigs. And they'd give him a little oatmeal at the end of the day. This is what you're going to get. What about pay? You're not getting pay. We'll feed you. You don't want to pay. One day, he woke up covered in that pig mess, stinking like a pig, flies all over him. And he said, I will arise and go to my father's house. He said, I don't have to put up with this. I got a father that loves me. And if I can be a servant in my father's house, I'll live better than anybody around here. And he got up and he started walking, and the owner said, where are you going, pig boy? Get in there. He said, I'm going to my father's house.
Amen.
And he started for his father's house. And he got to the, and oh, he stunk. Whew. There were buzzards flying around him. He was so stinky. And he got to that stream, and he went through that stream, and when he came out, he was all washed off. He didn't know it, but he's clean as a whistle. He looked good. He looked like his old self again. And so he started toward his father's house. And he went over that hill and he saw his father's big house, all the beautiful things. But his father loved him. And his father had been looking for him.
Amen.
And every day his father had been waiting. And finally he looked down that road one day, he had tears in his eyes. Here comes his son. Man, that boy didn't have that tattoo before. And boy, his hair is a mess. But that's my boy.
Amen.
And he went running down the hill. And he grabbed his son and he kissed him and he loved him. And the son got down on his knees and said, Father, don't do that. He said, I'll tell you what. If you'll just let me be a servant in your house, that's all I want. Just let me be a servant. And the father said, servant? You've got to be kidding. Come here. And he called his servants. He said, bring him the robe. The good robe. That purple robe with all the gold stuff on it. Bring it. And it's got money in the pockets. Bring that one. They put the robe on it. He said, bring him my ring. Not that little ring. Get that big ring. They put the big ring on it. He said, those shoes, those patent leather jobs like John Melvin wear. Get those shoes in here. And he said, put those shoes on those feet. I don't want that boy walking around here barefoot anymore. And he said, that fatted calf that we've been fattening up over there for a feast, kill it now. We're going to have a rejoicing right now. You know, Jesus did not tell the moral of that story. Because I think Jesus figured that after doing two of them, you ought to be able to do the third.
Right.
What's the third moral, right? There's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that comes back to the house of God than those that stayed. God is the God of the lost. He loves the lost. He loves all his children. Even when they're out there, he loves them, but they have to learn out there. And some people make a lot of mistakes out there, too. But you can always come back to the true and living God. Because what he will do when you come back will throw a party. And every time somebody joins the church, somebody ought to throw a party. Because they're throwing one up there. They sure are. Can you imagine somebody joins the church and the angels start whirling around. And they're just having a ball. They're high-fiving. Whoa, awesome. And down here we go, well, can I have a motion? Well, I have a second. Brethren, do we have time to give the brother the right hand fellowship, or should we wait for conference? Do it today? Okay. Brother, if you want to stay up here, when can we have your baptism? 4 months from now when your grandmother's going to be in town? Okay. Lord, that's not the way, is it? You've heard those three stories. What should you do when somebody joins the church? Rejoice, man. Have a party. Have a ball. Just enjoy. I was in a little church one time, and it was a real small little church. And the wooden floors and wooden walls and wooden ceilings, everything was wooden. And there was a real small church, and I tried to preach the best I could. And they hadn't had anybody join that church in years. And that night, about four young people joined the church. And I wondered how they would react in that church. They went Pentecostal. Men started whistling. I'm pretty good size. They pushed me out of the way. Like I wasn't even there. I went up against the wall. Holy cow. These people were running up and down, shaking each other's hands. And then we went to the pastor's house and had a party. We were up till midnight having a party. Why? Because people join the church. That's the way we ought to be when people join the church. The best way to get people to join the church is to show them you're happy about your church. The best evangelist is a happy member. It's the secret weapon of every evangelist. I shouldn't tell you that. Some of you are going to break out and get a lot of people to join the church, and then you'll pass my record, and it'll be horrible. But that's the secret weapon of every evangelist, is the joy. You want? Why should I join your church? Because we have more fun in our church than we do at yours. So come on over, man. We're having a ball at our church. We're getting together. We're having a good time. The pastor can preach. We get to learn about God. And when we learn about God, we order our lives so that we don't end up in that pigsty over the hill. We don't do those things. We learn not to do those things. We don't get the punishment he got because we learn not to do them. And we have a happy life. And we have friends in our church. Everything is just wonderful. I brought my grandson here. He's 22 years old. I'm trying to find him a wife. That's why I brought him here. That's what we do. I did that to Lorelai once too at Bethany. But anyway, we want our Christians to mate up with each other and just have a great time and enjoy church. That's the message sometimes we forget when we get too theological and too deep. And then we get to fussing, and we forget the way Jesus was. Do you think Jesus preached those messages with a frown? Well, I don't have a picture of Jesus smiling, but I do in my mind. Because I got to believe when Jesus said, there's more joy in heaven, I got to believe he smiled. How can you talk about joy and glory and not smile? I want every young person here to be an evangelist. You don't need to know a lot of scripture. You don't need to be steeped in the word. Of course, you should be. But to be an evangelist, you just need to know a happy story about your church. Amen. And you need to tell other people, why don't you come to church with me? Why should I? Because we have a ball. You're going to love it. Don't tell them all that. Just tell them how much fun you have at church. Jesus told these big shots, the thing I don't like about you is the way you treat my children. You put them down. You moan about them all the time. You don't treat them well. And when they do show any interest at all, you tell them they can't possibly catch on. They don't have enough education. This, that, and the other. He said, I'll tell you what. I like these publicans and sinners. Because when you preach to them, they love it. I'll close with this. We had a lady in our church. She had AIDS. She caught AIDS before she joined our church. And her name was Rita. And if you couldn't preach... And there's sometimes I can't preach a lick in the road, I admit it. At least it was once. Anyway, when you can't preach, you would look at Rita. And Rita looked at you like you were an angel. She looked at you like, well, Gabriel. She just sitting. She was enjoying every word with a smile on her face. Her face was horribly ugly. Her body was deformed. But you could get past that in a heartbeat. Because when you looked at her, she had a beautiful smile. Rita's the kind of person I want to see in our churches. People who are happy about being in church. People who enjoy being in church. Y'all enjoy being in church? Say amen. Amen. Thank you. Even if you don't say amen, anyway, it helps me a lot. I want all of us to remember that. All my little fishes, I want you to remember that. To enjoy coming to church. Be a happy member. Tell other people about the happiness that you have in church. And remember this. Every time you change your ways to do better, angels in heaven just take off. And just have a great time up there. And we ought to do the same thing down here. God bless you.